back of your bulletin and in circle number 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, in circle number 7. One other announcement that I want to make is my nephew, Cole Taney, March the 14th, we're having a wedding shower for him and Allie here at the church on March the 14th at 3 p.m., and they're registered at Leedy Floral, Leedy Lumber, A Splash of Grace, which is Patricia's store downtown, and Walmart. So I just wanted to make mention of that. So I'm looking forward to another family member getting married, and I get to perform their wedding ceremony. So it's always an honor. Okay, today's message is what I was going to do last Sunday for Valentine's Day. By the way, we have the kissing booth set up, so be sure and get a picture with your spouse, or maybe if it's a young, I'm looking over at the young girls, get your daddy, all right, your daddy, and that's who you kiss in that booth today. So you can take pictures, and we have refreshments out there in the foyer before you leave. Be sure, I think we still got some cookies and donuts out there to get you some, because I do not need to take those home with me today. This is just kind of, I was telling Jada where this message came from, is I read an article a few weeks ago about life hacks to a healthy relationship, and that quote, life hacks, has been kind of this thing that's going around on social media. And so I'll give you a definition of life hack. This is the definition of a life hack, is a strategy or a technique adopted in order to manage one's time and daily activities in a more efficient way. And so we're going to learn about life hacks to a healthy relationship. This is going to help you if you're dating. This is going to help you if you're married. This will help you maybe you're not even dating yet, just not even on your radar screen. But this is going to help you eventually when you start dating and you find that right one for you. But I decided, well, you know, we just went through some record-breaking temperatures, cold weather. And so I looked up life hacks for cold weather. So I'm going to give you 6 of the best life hacks that I saw on the internet for cold weather. Here's number 1. That's when you open, and most of you did this, I'm sure, over these past few weeks. It's where you open up your cabinets, prevent frozen pipes by opening cabinet doors under your bathroom and kitchen sinks. How many of you did that? I did that as well. And by opening your cabinets, you'll let warm air circulate around the pipes. And so that's a good one. By the way, I had one of my listings in Elk City. What I learned is you can have those opened up, but if the front door opens and the house faces to the north, it's going to freeze. the front door open, it faces the north on this house. I don't know how it came open, but it did, and it was a mess. And so I've been dealing with that all this past week, cleaning up a house. All right, here's the second thing, is use Pam on your snow shovel. And you can stop snow from sticking on a shovel with cooking spray. And I also heard, I was reading about this, that you can also use this Pam in your, this cooking stuff, cooking oil, in your, or cooking spray in your snow blower as well. And that'll help it from not packing in there. This is one I wish I would have known, because we do have a fireplace. I was telling Jada about this one this morning, is to put tin foil down on the bottom of your fireplace, because you line the bottom of your fireplace with foil for easy cleanup. After your fire, fold in the edges with the ashes inside and toss it. Instead of, I'm going to have to go home with a 5-gallon bucket and that little 4 to 5 inch shovel that they give you, it's that wide, and it'll take me an hour, you know, scoop after scoop, but to get all the ashes out of there. I've still got to do that today or tomorrow. Here's the other one, another fireplace hack, life hack for cold weather, is to make your own fire starter by stuffing toilet paper rolls with dryer lint. I have done this, and it works. It's very good. So there's you another life hack. Here's you a good one. Everybody see the penguin? This is, God knew how to walk on ice, so he made a penguin to teach us, all right? And so what you do is, don't get out if you don't have to, but if you have to get out on ice, because I know most of us around here are farmers and ranchers, I'm going to demonstrate this, by the way. You got to put your shoes, your feet need to be pointed out, and then you hold your arms out like this, and you walk like this. Penguin. It's true, Marty. We can learn from nature. That's how you walk on ice. Learn to walk like a penguin. believe it or not, guys, and I know this is sad but true, approximately 60 people die each year in the United States as a result of falls on ice. So don't get out if you don't have to, but if you do, walk like a penguin, all right? Now, here's one I thought was really interesting, and this is the last one this morning, is everybody has probably had this happen, you know, the keys. Evidently, after I put that on there, I was like, that may not be the best one to put on there because that's actually an unlocked button on the key. And but for purposes, there was ice. I thought, well, this will work. And there's ice on the handle as well. You can unfreeze locks with hand sanitizer. I know that we're all, you know, carrying hand sanitizer now. You just squirt a little hand sanitizer on them. The alcohol that kills germs also lowers the freezing point of water and can melt the ice inside the lock within seconds. So there's your little life hack. All right, you can use that hand sanitizer for something else. All right, everybody turn to Ephesians 5 if you have your Bibles, and I'm going to put it up here on the screen as well. And this is Ephesians 5, verses 21 through 33, and I'm reading out of the NIV version today. Some people call that the nearly inspired version. That's a joke. It's the New International Version is what that stands for. And this is the most revelatory text in all of Scripture concerning marriage. And it's in Ephesians 5, verses 21 through 33. In my Bible, it had the heading, Instructions for Christian Households. And this is what starts off with verse 21. Most people start off with verse 22, but I want to start off with verse 21 to clear something up. Verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That means I submit to Jada, Jada submits to me out of reverence for Christ. Most guys like the Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. That's the one we all us guys, you need to submit to me. No, you need to do verse 21 first. Before she'll ever submit to you, you need to do verse 21 first. Submit to her as well. All right, verse 23 says, for the husband is the head of that wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any blemish or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body, and for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. That is a mouthful. I encourage you to go home and read it and reread it and let the Holy Spirit speak to you through that passage of Scripture about marriage and about your marriage. And this is what I want to say about this, that this is the most revelatory passage of Scripture about marriage in all the Bible. And the warmth, I love this quote, the warmth of true friendship and the love that binds the hearts of a husband and wife is a foretaste of heaven. That's basically what God is saying through there. God is love. The Bible says if we could sum up God, God is love. And that kind of love, that unconditional love, that forgiving love, that giving love is displayed in a marriage, in a Christian marriage. And that's just a foretaste of heaven, what heaven's going to be like. Just like a little drop in the bucket. I can't wait for heaven. Amen? And it's going to be awesome. All right, so here's the six life hacks. I'm going to give them to you this morning. And each life hack, you can write them down, and then I'm going to give you a scripture reference for each one and just a practical thing to take away too. All right, here's number one. Life hack number one, remember you're on the same team. When you're married, remember that you're on the same team. You're not each other's opponent. Amen. You're on the same team. It's in a moment of conflict or tough conversations, it's important to get rid of ego and pride and remember you're on the same team. You need to humble yourself. Remember you're on the same team. Being a great teammate requires you to play your role to the best of your ability. And I'll tell you, I've been in pastoral ministry for close to 25 years now. I've done a lot of marriage counseling. I've not only just seen this when I'm sitting across the desk from somebody counseling a marriage, but I've also seen it in my marriage. The enemy is very, very crafty and good at his schemes and strategies, and he can convince you and persuade you that you're married to Diablo's brother or you're married to Satan's sister. He can do it. He's very good at it. And you've got to shut that down because that's not from God. And we laugh about that when I share that, but it happens in every relationship and every marriage. That divisive behavior comes on. You're not opponents. You're not enemies. You're on the same team. And everybody said, if your spouse is here with you, look at them and say, we're on the same team, babe. We're on the same team. All right. I love this scripture that goes with this. It's in Amos 3:3, and it says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so. So there's power in agreement, that walking together. You have to have that agreement and know that you're on the same team because you're going to face things. Both of you are going to look at it with different perspectives, different ideas. But when you sit down and communicate and talk about it, remember that you're on the same team and get each other's perspective about something. Here's the practical takeaway on life hack number one. Get good at asking the question to your spouse or to, if you're dating or whatever. Get good at asking the question, what do you need? Because it gets the focus off of you and onto them, and that's who you're there to serve. A great marriage is two servants serving one another. That's what a great marriage looks like. And you need to get good at you know, saying, what do you need? I know you women like us men to figure it out, but get good at communicating. When we say, what do you need, tell us. Don't go, oh, do you just figure it out? No, that don't work. You know, we can't figure you out. We're studying you still. So what do you need? Just realize, men, we need help. So we need communication. We need you to tell us bluntly what it is. Now, under this, I just want you to make note of this. This is something I go over with every premarital counseling that I do, men and women's needs, and I'm just going to give you what a woman's number one need is and a man's number one need is. A woman's number one need is security, all right? And that covers everything. That covers spiritual things, emotional things, mental things, physical things, relational things, financial things. It covers everything. A lot of times us guys, we see security and we just think, okay, she's got a roof over her head. We got food on the table. We got, you know, bills are getting paid. You know, we got a little bit of money in the bank. That ought to be enough security. No, they need more than that. Amen. They need you to communicate with them, and that's part of it, but they need all those areas of helping them feel secure. For men, their number one need is respect and honor. All right? You need to be their biggest cheerleader, ladies, even if you don't feel like it. You know, I'm not saying put on the cheerleading dress and the pom-poms and go that far, but if you want to, that's fine too. But Carrie's looking at me like, Pastor. But verbally encourage your spouse. They need it. Most men, when you hear about divorces happening, most men, and if you've been through a divorce, there's no condemnation here today. We're all learning. I'm still learning, even though we'll be married 29 years. We were talking this morning. We were laughing that we're still learning each other after 29 years of marriage. But, guys, the respect and honor goes a long way. I cannot describe how much they need to. So what I was going to say was men, what happens with men whenever they, most of the time, about 95% of the time, a woman of the, you know, the opposite sex, a woman in this case, because we're talking about men, will start encouraging them at work or wherever, you know, being their cheerleader, and that gets his heart turning away from home. If he's not hearing it at home, his heart turns to that. And that, yeah, thank you, Janice. That's so true. And that's what happens. And it does it, and that's what leads to infidelity and all those things. And so we have to meet each other's needs. If a woman's not feeling secure at home, if she comes in contact with a man at work or whatever, it makes her feel secure, there you go. That number one need in both of us can cause that to happen. So number one need of a woman is security. Number one need of a man is respect and honor. All right, life hack number two. is don't retaliate, compensate. Don't retaliate and compensate. Now, let me explain that. Compensating for your shortcomings in a relationship can look like this, all right? You need to realize, first of all, you need to realize right now, and I know I'm a guy, so I'm going to talk to some guys for a little bit. You need to let down your deal, your guard, and realize you're not the bag of chips that you think you are, all right? And everything, you don't have the whole package, right? None of us are the whole deal. We all need help. That's why we need Jesus. He's the whole thing. Jesus is the whole package. But we need his help in this. So you just got to realize you're not all that in a bag of chips. Compensating for your shortcomings in a relationship can look like this. Getting professional help if you need to. Removing the emotion of retaliating and putting effort into developing good habits in your relationship. A marriage is two people that are good at being great givers and great forgivers. Great givers and great forgivers. Earlier in our marriage, it wasn't early on, but I think I was in my mid-30s when this happened. I started having some things happen to me personally. But she got the brunt of it because I married her, but it had nothing to do with her. And she encouraged me, Mark, you need to go get counseling. I'm like, here you go, man's ego and pride. I'm a pastor. I have ego. I have pride. I don't need counseling. And the more she told me that you need counseling, the more I realized I need counseling. I need some help. There's some stuff that happened to me back when I was a child that I've stuffed down inside of me that's coming back up. I don't know why. It waited till I'm in my mid-30s, but here we are. And I'm facing it, and she's taking the brunt of it. And I'm just going to tell you my story real quick for the guys in here. Getting if you need professional help, getting help is a sign of strength, not a sign of weakness. And so I started calling around. I called some pastor friends of mine. They were all very encouraging and telling me where I needed to go. And they told me about a place. And that's because we're submitted to Trinity Fellowship Association of Churches out of Amarillo, Texas. That's where that's based out of. There was a counseling center there in Amarillo called the Amarillo Family Institute. I don't even know if it's still there anymore because this was back when I was in my mid-30s. And I knew that I needed to go get counseling, and so I went. And went in, and I specifically asked for a male counselor. Because of some things I was dealing with and personally. And so I had a male counselor, was probably about my age at that time, and he was a great guy, but we just, for some reason, it just did not click. And the reason why I say this is because you may have to go more than once. You may have to search around and find somebody. And so I knew within me, I told Jade, I said, when I left there, I said, man, he's a great guy. We had a great conversation and everything, but he's not the counselor for me. And so in my mind, I knew that I needed a man that was older than me, like a father figure. And that's just what I needed at that time. And so I asked this Amarillo Family Institute, I said, I really, nothing about the counselor that you set me up with, but I need a male counselor that's older than me, not my same age, somebody that's older. So they gave me a guy, and he was an older man, and he come walking in, and he was shuffling like this. Never forget it. And he sat down in front of me, and this man was just packed full of wisdom. And he, the several times that I went and saw him, he'd get out a notepad and he would draw things. And it just made me realize that auditory learning, visual learning, he was doing it all. I mean, he was a great guy. He'd been doing it for many years. And I can still remember the title of this book that he's written, and it was called Forgive the Devil. And I know that's a weird title of a book, but the gist of his book was we've all had bad stuff happen to us, and we need to move on, and quit trying to, because I've ran across people that the enemy's beating me from pillar to post, and they do it every time you see him, and you're like, okay, guess what? He was defeated 2,000 years ago. It's time to move on. And anyway, that's a whole nother story. But this man sat down with me, using paper and pen and talking to me, just helped me to get a whole new perspective about myself. And actually, this is what I look back on that time that I had with this counselor, And I can tell you what he did for me, bottom line, was with all my flaws and all my junk, he helped me love myself for who I am. That was the most powerful thing that I got out of that whole thing. But he helped me to see myself that, hey, man, God loves you, and you've got a lot to give, and go give it to the world. Yeah, you've been through a lot of stuff and a lot of stuff that you didn't sign up for, but God can use that for his glory if you allow him. And so it was just really good. And I just encourage you, if there's anybody here, you know, male, female, whatever, I mean, it is, go get professional help if you need it, okay? And I can help you, guide you to the right, you know, the right places if you need to. Because I've had people come to me, Pastor, I need counseling, but it can't be you. I understand that. We want it to be outside and go somewhere and get away, and I understand that because that's what I had to do with this Amarillo Family Institute. So I can help set you up and go if you need that, if that's something that you need. And everybody said amen. All right, it's a sign of strength, not a sign of weakness, to get help. And this is the scripture that goes along with this life hack number two. It's James 1, verses 19 through 20. Where James says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And you need to practice those three in your relationship all the time. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And here's the practical takeaway from this one. Next time you feel like retaliating out of emotion, make an effort to calm down and revisit the issue when you can think clearly. Amen. Have you ever had one of those, maybe this is just Jade and I, no. But have you ever had one of those spats where you're like, no, let's settle this right now. That's not the time to settle it. No, let's take care of this right now. No, you need to go take a breather. You may even need to sleep on it, okay? Telling off of myself up here, We're not perfect, okay? Jade and I are still learning too, amen? All right, I'm not a marriage expert up here, but I've got experience. All right, life hack number three, try on each other's shoes, all right? I know that sounds a little weird, but that's not what I'm talking about, all right? I'm not talking about cross-dressing, all right, this morning, all right? What I'm talking about is, that just hit me up here in the pulpit when I said that. I was like, man, I should have probably rephrased that life hack. Try on each other's shoes. Empathy is an art form that has to be learned. Empathy. That's what try on each other's shoes means, empathy. It is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. Putting yourself in the other person's shoes means listening, leaning in, and pausing to get the best perspective. Okay, that's what you've got to do. Empathy. Need more empathy in our relationships. A lot of times we're trying to make each other see each other's needs, and we need to sacrifice our needs and see their needs first, all right? Galatians 6:2 is the scripture here. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. That's what you, as a marriage, that's what you're there to do. Guys, I know how guys, we try to shoulder it all, and Your spouse, Jade has told me this, I don't know how many times, she's told me, Mark, I want to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. I want to hear how you're feeling. That word feeling. I want to know, how did that make you feel, and all those things. And it's not because they're being nosy, it's because then they know how to support us and pray for us. I always thought it's just because she's trying to be nosy, like, my gosh, you're so nosy. You know, you want to know how I feel about that. And she wants to know because she wants to help me. And support me and pray for me because she loves me. All right, practical takeaway on this is fight for the right perspective today. What can you do to learn more about your spouse? What can you do to learn more about your spouse? Fight for the right perspective today. All right, here's life hack number four. I know I'm going kind of quick, and if you know, I'll email you my notes if you want them. Life hack number four, this kind of goes with what we just read back in James chapter 1. Verses 19 through 20, but it's life hack number four is bite your tongue, quick to listen, and slow to speak. And this is where the bite your tongue comes in, is what happens is if we're hurting, and it could mean nothing to do with, you know, your spouse, but if you're hurting, hurt people hurt people. And so what comes out of the mouth has to be what comes out of your heart, and your words will stay ugly if your heart is creased. Some of us in here need to increase our hearts today. Amen. in Luke chapter 6. And I'm telling you, the best of us, the best Christian, the best of us can get our heart creased by life circumstances, and then we take it home with us. Luke 6:45, this is what Jesus said. He said, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Okay, and it's so true. You can take that into everywhere in life. If you'll just shut up and listen to people, they'll tell you what the problem is. If you become a good listener, you know, in sales, business, in family relationships, in your marriage, whatever, if you'll just listen, people will tell you what's going on. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I love it this week, Jada. She met a need of mine, that need of respect and honor, and she looked at me one day. I can't remember what happened, and she just said, "Mark, you're a good man." I was like, "You dang right." But it made me just swell up with pride, right? You know, and I can't tell you when you women, when you encourage your man, I mean, you talk about the chest flying out, and you know, and you're all. And I know what you women are thinking is, if I tell him that, his head's going to be this big and he ain't going to be able to get to the front door. No, keep telling him that. He needs that. It's a need that he has. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, so I pray as a man, and there's been times where I came home and I wasn't full of goodness, and that wasn't what was coming out of my mouth. But keep your heart full of God's goodness. Amen. And that'll always come out of you. All right, practical takeaway on this is ask God today to heal the wounded parts of your heart. God can't heal what you conceal. Get it out in the open. Talk to God about it. Let him know about it. The first person, you know, it may not even need to go to counseling, but the first person you need to be talking about is to God about what you're concealing, and get it out in the open and talk to him about it, and then he'll lead you from there. All right, life hack number 5 is look for beauty. And I'm not just talking about outward beauty. That's what our society is too. And young people, please listen to me. That's what our society is so hung up on, is the outward beauty. And you need to be looking at a person's heart. When you're dating somebody, listen to me, young people. When you're dating somebody, look at their heart. Find out what's in their heart. And Jed and I counseled our daughter. I think she's watching us online this morning. She's home with Ava. And she had told me, and she had been out on several dates. You know, some of you are getting, your girls are going to be up there in that 16. And Daddy was very protective, and Daddy was teaching her, you know, what you look for in a man. And when she met Cameron, who she's married to now, they went out to Simon's Catch on a date. And she said, "Daddy, I knew he was the one, even though, yeah, he was good looking, you know, on the outside." But she said, whenever he told me, he looked at me and said, "I want to pray over our dinner. Before we have dinner." And she goes, "I knew right then he was the one." And he wasn't putting, that wasn't, you know, some guys put their best foot forward. He wasn't putting on a show. That was what was really in his heart. And so, ladies, I'm telling you, to don't look at that. And guys, too, don't look at the outside. Look at the heart. Thinking about the story of King David. Didn't look at the outside. He looked at the heart. All right. Looking for beauty has to do with loving yourself and having an attitude of gratitude. And this goes for men and women. You won't find the beauty in anyone or anything until you find it in yourself first. It goes back to confidence, security, and identity, and all that has to be wrapped up in Christ, your relationship with Christ individually. I love this scripture. It's in 1 Peter 3, verses 3 through 4 for this one. And it says, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold, jewelry, or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." Now, God didn't say that we don't, you know, some people have taken this the wrong way and said, well, we're not supposed to fix our hair, and we're not supposed to wear gold jewelry, or we're supposed to wear makeup. For the love of God, do all of the above, all right? Men included, groom yourselves, men, all those things, all right? Rather, not only is it the outward, but rather it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Yes, that was written towards women, but this also applies to men as well. Okay? How many of you have seen great-looking people that had an ugly personality? We all have, all right? So it has to do with not only the outer, but also the inner, and God's more concerned what's going on in the inside. Here's the practical takeaway on this. Create daily habits to build confidence and gratitude in yourself. That means get into the Word yourself. Get into a relationship with Jesus yourself and watch your relationship flourish. Not only your relationship with God, but your relationship with other people, especially with your spouse. All right, life hack number 6. Remember the foundation: respect, trust, and communication. That's a big one in relationships, is the respect, trust, and communication. When one of these pillars is off, everything is off. If one of these is broken in a relationship, they must be rebuilt. And here's the deal. When one of these has been broken, guys, it doesn't happen overnight to rebuild it. It takes time. A lot of guys think, oh, I'll just take her on a vacation and get her a gift. That don't fix a foundation, all right? It takes time, hard work, and commitment. That's what fixes the foundation. The scripture that goes with this is out of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 25, where Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." Talking about the solid rock of Christ Jesus. I love what we witnessed today, Gary Gourlay leading his family, you know, and all of them following the Lord in water baptism. Their family is on the rock. Doesn't mean that they're not going to face circumstances and situations, but they're going to be able to weather the storm because their foundation is on the rock. So remember the foundation. And this is the practical takeaway from this, is take time to examine the foundation of your relationship and get honest. What have you been patching that really needs to be rebuilt? All right, does everybody want to know the number 7, the bonus hack? I promise you, if you'll start doing this, I believe it takes care of the other 6 that I just told you today. It encapsulates all of them. And this is something that I find as a pastor that a lot of couples don't do together, even Christian couples, and that is pray together. Okay, and I can remember when a pastor first told me that when I was sitting where you were at, that I need to start praying with my spouse, it scared the living daylights out of me because I was like, what am I going to say? She's going to think I'm stupid, you know, because I'm going to say something dumb. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. You need to pray about everything, anything, but the big things and the small things. And I'm telling you guys, that's number 7, pray together. When you pray together, it takes the other 6 and makes them all work. It's the biggest life hack there ever is. Jada will tell you that her number one need of security is more met whenever I am praying over her and over everything that we're facing as in our marriage, in our relationship, in our family. And we've prayed on the way in this morning. We pray at night. We'll lay there in bed at night before we go to bed. You know, and here's the deal. I want to take away I got to go to church and have on holy music and you know, and then get down on both knees and have a prayer altar and pray. No, you don't need all that. That's good if you have all that, if you have a place set aside to do that. But Jade and I, laying in bed at night before we're going to bed, and she'll reach over and she said, let's pray. And I'll grab her hand and we'll just lay there in bed and pray over everything that went on that day and what we're going to be facing tomorrow. And then we just drift off to sleep. And she has told me time and time again, she said, Mark, that meets my need of security more than anything in our relationship. And it takes care of all the other life hacks. If you don't know where to start as a guy, here's the deal. Just start by praying over the food whenever y'all sit down to eat as a family, you know, and throw in some things that are personal that are going on. God wants to hear it all. Amen. He wants you to take your needs to him in prayer. And when you pray together, that is the biggest life hack of them all. It just makes it all work. The other life hack that I want to tell you about is you need to, what we saw Gary and his family to do, is make sure that Jesus is number one in your life personally, in your marriage, and in your family. And so I want to lead you in a prayer this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I do this every Sunday. I say this every Sunday. But just make sure that everybody here knows Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Those that are watching online, those are going to be listening to this on the radio. And so I want you to, even if you are saved and you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins, and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Did everybody learn something today? Got some takeaways? Go home and start working on these life hacks. All right, I want everybody to stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. Jada, if you'll come up here, babe. We're going to speak a blessing over everybody. This is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Go hug somebody's neck and say, life hack.